John chapter 5. The message today is about measurements of love. It was a particular passage that came to mind, but then I found out that that passage brought so many more passages to mind that there were varied measurements of love. So we're going to start out with the first measurement. John chapter 5. Our Savior is speaking to the nation to which he came, and this is what he says. Verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourself. Now let me ask you this. If there is no love in the heart of man, how can you measure it? You say you can. So when you speak of measurement love, you start with no love, and then let's see if there are other measurements of love. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and read in verse 8, that all these things are the beginning of travail. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold. Now, the love can be cold and hot. So here is a measurement of love. Cold or hot. Now, let's look in Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. This is a portion that I was considering, but upon consideration of it, and we may dwell on it at length, but let's see about this woman in Luke chapter 7. She comes and washes our Savior's feet with her tears and anoints his feet with ointment. And look at verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, Teacher, say on. A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 and the other 50. Notice, one owed 10 times more than the other. One owed 500 amounts of money, and the other 50 amounts of money. When they had not wherewith to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Which of them therefore will love him most? Simon answered and said, He, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Look at verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So here is the measurement. Much and little. Now, let's see one that is thrilling that speaks of Christ's love in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. I see. Chapter 3 in Ephesians. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, let's read another portion in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. I'll bring others to your attention, God willing, without reading them as we go along, but this one I want you to hear. Revelation 2. Our Savior, speaking of those at the church at Ephesus, commends them. He knows their work. They work, they toil, they have patience. And it says, verse 4, "But I have somewhat against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love." So here are some that had a first kind of love, and now they have left that first kind of love. And let's read another good one. Turn to Jeremiah 31 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31. And I'll tell you what the Father says, and then I'll tell you what the Son says. Chapter 31, and look at verse 3. "The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You see, the measurement of the love of God, it is everlasting. And the Lord Jesus said this in John 15, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Now, there are more, but that's all that we'll think about for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the things that your scriptures tell us about love. Our Father, let us know the corrupted view that so many of us have when we think of love. It is something that pertains to the flesh. It is something that is of man. But that has told us that there is another kind of love. There is a divine love. And our Father, indeed there are objects on earth that we are to love. But there is one who came from heaven that we are to love most of all. And the Father that gave that Son. So let us understand what you tell us about love. And let us see the dangers. And let us see also the deception. Because some think they have love, and they have it not. So our God, help us this day to understand just what is the condition of our heart. If it contains love, and how much? Or if it is empty, and there's no way to measure it. And you are able to do this if your Spirit works upon our hearts. And that is what we pray for, that your Spirit shall indeed speak to us and reveal the truth unto us. We thank you, Father, for every blessing those hours, that we have enough help and strength to be here, and that by your grace we are here. We thank you for the spiritual strength, and we pray that we shall be strengthened in both ways, physically and spiritually. And our God, we would look to thee and confess our sins, because you promised that if we do, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And that is what we do. So, as clean vessels, we would listen, and as clean vessels, we would speak. Illumine us by thy Spirit, we pray, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. From these scriptures that I read to you, could you honestly say, first of all, yes, I have love in my heart, love for God, and love for man? Or did you have to listen to that first scripture when the Lord Jesus said, you have not the love of God in your hearts? The world will tell you this. Everybody is filled with love. Why, a fool would believe that. If someone said, everyone's heart is filled with hate, I would be more likely to believe that because of what I see going on in the world. But the Lord Jesus says concerning some, not talking about your love for me and my love for you, but about our love for the Father and for His Son. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, I know you. You have not the love of God in you. No love of God in the heart. That's a terrible thing to be told. It's like Nicodemus, who came to the Lord Jesus with flattering words, saying, we know that you came from God because no man can do these miracles that you do unless God is with you. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. How startling. I come with respect, with reverence to the Lord Jesus, thinking that all is well, and the Savior says, you are lost. You haven't been born into the family of God. You must be born again. And in like manner, in John chapter 5, our Savior is speaking not to one Jew, but to a multitude of Jews, and He said, I know you. You have not the love of God in your hearts. Now, that is an indictment that means eternal destruction. Because there must be the love of God and the knowledge of God in our hearts. There must be enough there for measurement. Like this. Some weeks back, the stem to my tire burst and the air was almost completely gone. But it wasn't completely gone, and the man said, go very slowly and drive your car over to where I can repair that tire. And so there was a little bit of air left in there. But there was a time when there was no air at all in that tire. When it was new, before it was put on the rim, there was no air. But then there was air in the tire, but because of an accident, most of the air was gone. Now, whether you realize it or not, when you are born, there is absolutely no love of God in your heart. You have no love for God. And the Bible describes it this way. Men are haters of God, and they are filled with hatred for their fellow man. And that is our condition before we are born again. And we might speak of our love, that there is a natural love. And let me tell you, have you ever heard that there are four kinds of love in the Greek language, and each word describes that kind of love? There is the sensual love, the eros, and then there is the natural love, which is stargé, as a mother for a child, and then you have other kinds of love, like God's love, and love for man. You have four kinds of love. And so, here are some, and there is a natural kind of love, but that's not enough to make you acceptable in God's sight. It speaks about without natural affection. There is in man, with all his corruption and with all his depravity, there is a natural affection. And what happens is that when a mother has a child and a father has a child, there is this natural love that springs out, and it is just spontaneous. But even that is being corrupted today. And the Bible speaks of a time when people are going to be without natural affection. And that's a terrible thing. You see, here's an entirely different realm. It is the natural realm. Well, I remember in the Old Testament the illustration about two prostitutes. And they both have babies about the same time. And one of these sinful women rolled over on her baby in the night, and the little thing was smothered to death. And she saw that, and she took this dead child and put it in the bosom of the other lewd woman, and took her living child and put it to her bosom. Isn't that a remarkable thing? You see, even prostitutes at times have natural affection. But this one that wanted that child had a certain kind of affection, and the other one had a certain kind of affection. But what happened, it turned out that one of these two women had a greater love than the other one. Because when Solomon said, well, the only way to decide whose is the living child and whose is the dead child is to cut that child in two and give half to each. And the woman whose the child was not said, yes, let's do that. And the other woman said, no, let her have the child. Because she would do anything to save the life of that child. And Solomon said, the child is hers. Why? Because she had natural affection. There was something else the other woman had, but it wasn't natural affection, and it may have been affected by this. Yes, you can cut the child in two. Why? Because the child isn't mine. My child is dead. This is this other woman's child, so let's cut it in two. But you see how the Bible realistically brings before us different kinds of love. And so there is natural love and there is divine love. But unless divine love is in your heart, the consequences are eternal, and the consequences are that you shall perish. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 16. I did not read you this. It says, if any man loves not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. If you do not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Yes. But what about all the Muslims? What about all the Buddhists? What about all the Orthodox Jews? The Bible says, if any man loves not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. You say, that is a harsh judgment. I wonder, if there was one God and he has a son, and he sent this son into the world to save sinners, and sinners reject that son and do not love that son, then there is only one consequence that will take place. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, let him be anathema. And also, this is what the Savior said. This is positive. I told you negative. The Savior said to those Jews that were supposedly those that were devoted to him. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. If God were your Father, you would love me. So think of it positively and negatively. It says, if you love not the Lord Jesus Christ, that's negative. If you do not love him, it says, be accursed. And it says, if God were your Father, you would love me. And so you can find out definitely whether a man is born again by asking this question, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? And if he says, well, I have a great respect for him because he is a teacher and he gave us a fine example. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you and gave himself for you? And if that man says no, then that man is unregenerate. He hasn't been born again. He is not saved. And this is the teaching of the Scripture, and this is what we must hold fast. I recall years ago speaking to a woman who was religious, a member of a church here in town. She and her husband were active in the work there, and the husband invited her to the home, and it may have been to witness to his wife, because I believe he was truly saved. And as I was telling the woman the way of salvation, it dawned on her that what I was telling her, that she was lost and everyone was lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, well, what about my best friend, this rabbi? Is he lost? And I said, I will only quote you a verse of Scripture. I would not be so presumptuous as to tell you who was saved and lost. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And she could say nothing about me. She might say, well, I want nothing to do with this Savior. He's too narrow-minded, because the God I know loves everybody, and he'll save everybody, no matter what they are and what they do. You see, that is the deception of the world. That is what Satan wants you to think. But the teaching of the Word of God is this. You must have measurable love in your heart. And if you're going along and you truly love God, and then the Father in the fullness of time sends forth His Son from heaven, when you look upon the Son, you will love the Son. Why? Because He is identical with the Father that you've been loving. You love God, why? Because of His attributes, because of His nature, because He is God. And therefore, if God is your Father, you will love me, the Lord Jesus said, because I came out from God. And He said to Philip, have I been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So every attribute of the Father, of the invisible God, is visibly seen in the life and spoken in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you see Him, the life He lives, and if you listen to Him, the words He speaks, and you do not love the Lord Jesus, then you're lost. Because if God were your Father, you would love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. If you love God and you find one that is identical with Him, how can you say, I hate this one, but love God? You cannot, because the Lord Jesus is one with the Father. So that is the first measurement. No measurement at all. If you haven't been born again, there is no divine love in your heart. Now, there may be natural love. I told you about that. The natural love of a mother for a child. But that can change. Even natural love can be measured. But you must have divine love. And this is what it says in the first epistle of John, which I did not read to you, in 1 John 4. It says, we love Him because He first loved us. Do you see? It is not this. Here I am, a sinner on earth, and I love God so much as a sinner that finally God looks down from heaven and says, now this sinner loves me so much, I have to do something for him. That is contrary to everything that's written in the Word of God. You are a sinner on earth, taken up with yourself and with your life, and God is not in your thoughts. But what happens is that God looks down upon you in your need and in your emptiness, and it says, God commended His love toward us. You see? And God loved the world and gave His Son. And so what happens is that God loves first and gives His Son, and then when you trust Christ as Savior, it says the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts, poured out in our hearts. Why? Because we love the Father and we love His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then the love of God is poured into our hearts. All right. Once the love of God is there, then you can start measuring. And so my question is this. If you say, yes, I am born again, but let me ask you this. What is the measurement of the love of God in your heart? The portion I read you in Luke chapter 7 speaks of much and little. Much and little. Simon loved the Lord Jesus a little. And what is so sad is if you love Him a little, you can have thoughts that are wrong. You can have judgments that are wrong. But still the Lord Jesus will acknowledge if you love Him even a little. And then there was that woman who had been converted, and the Lord Jesus said, she loved much. So there was much love for the Savior, and there was little love for the Savior. And what is so important in this instance is that he measured the love in Luke chapter 7. Because the Savior tried to measure the love and devotion in the heart of Simon Peter and tell him the smallness of that love. When he said to Peter that all of you are going to deny me this day. You're all going to forsake me and flee. And Peter said, the rest may do it, but I will never do it. I will go to prison and I will go to death for you. And the Lord Jesus said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He denied it. He said, never. What Peter said was this. He said, my love compared to the love of others is greater than the love of any man. Now, who measured his love? You say, well, Simon had one measurement of his love, and the Lord Jesus had another measurement for his love. But whose measurement do you think was correct? You say, why, the Lord Jesus. And soon, it turned out that Peter realized that the measurement that the Lord Jesus gave of Peter's love was the correct measurement. So listen, if the Lord Jesus makes a pronouncement about how much you love, accept that judgment and work upon it. The Lord Jesus said concerning that woman who in the city had been a sinner, he said this, she loved much. Then put your hand upon your mouth. It may be that one whose life has been one of sin in the past has been converted, and suddenly that sinful, loveless heart now becomes a heart filled with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I might look upon it and doubt it, but if the Lord Jesus said, do you see that woman? She loved much. And he did not call him by name, but he could have said, and Simon, I'm looking at your heart. You love little. So the warning is this. Whatever pronouncement Christ makes about how much or how little love you have, accept his judgment. Because Peter said concerning himself, I love you more than any man. And finally, since Peter did not believe the Lord Jesus, in John chapter 21, in the presence of all the other apostles, the Savior says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter would never answer that question. Why? Because he had boasted that he loved them more than any of the others. And the Savior said, now, Peter, I told you how much you loved me, how little you loved me. Now tell me, the evaluation of your own love, its measurement, do you love me more than these? And Peter would never say he did. Why? Because Peter had discovered that Christ's measurement of his love was the correct measurement of his love. Have you discovered that? In thinking how great a person you are, how devoted you are for God, have you heard the Lord Jesus make a comment upon it? And if he says, it's little, then accept it and try to increase that love. If he says it's much, then even though it may be incomprehensible, accept it. Lord, how could you say concerning me, who just recently have been living a life of sin, what I'm doing for you seems so little? The Lord Jesus said, I judge it as much. So do you see? There is love that is much, and there is love that is little. That's most important. Suppose the Lord said, the only people that get to heaven are those that love me much. Who would go to heaven? Perhaps one here, one there. But I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus said, you love me little. Now, to get to heaven, you have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible speaks of, O woman, great is thy faith. And he said concerning others, your faith is little. O ye of little faith. So there is great faith and little faith. But they are identical in this respect. They both have faith. Some have no faith. Not all men have faith. Not all believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God starts measuring them. And he says concerning some, you have great faith. And he says concerning others, you have little faith. And it's the same way with love. So let's keep this in mind for a moment. This is what the Lord Jesus wants. Now, there is love that is hot, and there is love that is cold. And what you discover is that there are circumstances that affect the measurement of your love for God. I did not realize this, that in hot weather, pressure will increase, and in cold weather, it will decrease. And in like manner, my love for the Savior is affected by circumstances around me. This is what I read to you in Matthew chapter 24. It said, and because iniquity shall abound, you see, sin, iniquity, corruption, because this shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. The waxing cold means it increases in its frigidity. It gets colder and colder. To wax hot means to get hotter and hotter. And so at one time, the love of whom those Christ speaks in Matthew 24 had a warmth to it. There was heat to it. But he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. So tell me this. Is the love in your heart hot or cold? It's a terrible thing. If you have a heart with love in it that's cold, then you would think there's no love at all. And at times, when one has loved fervently, and then that love has turned cold, it seems as if there's no love at all. And it hurts more to be loved in a cold way. If you were once loved fervently in a hot way, and never to have been loved at all. That's the sad thing. And the Lord Jesus recognizes that. And this is what he's talking about in Revelation chapter 2. He looks at the church at Ephesus, and he says concerning that church, I know all your good works, I know your patience, your steadfastness, I know you cannot tolerate evil. When people come in and say they're apostles, you do not take it for what they say. But he said, you put them to the test, and you found them false. He said, you've served me, and you've not grown weary. He said, however, I have some thought against you. You have left your first love. So there was a first kind of love, and there was a later kind of love. And I wish I didn't have to tell you this, but I must, because the first kind of love that Jacob had for Rachel was an ideal kind of love. It says in Genesis that when Jacob wanted a wife, he looked at the younger daughter of Laban, and he said, I love your daughter, Rachel, and I will serve you 7 years for your daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, accepted. That is the contract. And this is what the Bible says about it. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Now that's beautiful. You're going to serve 7 years to pay the dowry for your bride. And think of all of those laborious days that you're working for a hard master, Laban. But it says you love Rachel so much, they seem like a few days. Now, that is beautiful. That is fervent love. But then you find out that he gets married, and then also Leah comes into the picture, and Rachel is unable to have children, and she comes and she confronts Jacob and blames him, and Jacob is angry with his wife, Rachel. Isn't this a sad thing? What happens? Well, there is that fervent love, but I told you that circumstances in married life can make fervent love grow cold and grow less. But what is the thing that gives comfort and consolation to the heart are the two scriptures that I read to you from Jeremiah and from Ephesians. This is what God says in Jeremiah 31. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And concerning the love of Christ and will apply it to him, listen to it, he says, I want you to know the love of Christ. I want you to know the length and breadth and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. So if you look at the love of Christ, how long is it? You say, you can't measure it. And how wide is it? You say, you can't measure it. The height of it, the depth of it. You say, it's immeasurable. That is the love of Christ. And what is its duration? If it says in Jeremiah 31, I have loved you with an everlasting love, can you measure eternity? You say, no. And listen, this is what Christ said in John 15. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So, if a person is hungry and you give him a little something to eat, that's a little bit of love. But, if you have a friend and you're ready to die for that friend, the Lord Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And the Savior said, you are my friend. And he laid down his life not for those that were deserving friends, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Christ died for sinners as well as his friends. And so if for a friend you will lay down your life and there's no greater love, what is the measurement of the love for someone who would lay down his life for his enemy? You say, it's incomprehensible. And that is the measurement of the love that God wants us to think about concerning his Son. How high is it? It's higher than heaven. It's deeper than hell. It's wider than the ocean. But all of these things can be measured, but God at least wants us to think about those things. Now, notice what God says in Revelation 2. He said, you still have many good qualities because you still have a little bit of love. And if you have a lot of love, and you have many qualities, but then that love grows less, you still have qualities, but in those qualities, and in the service that you render to God, there is not that devotion, there is not that which pleases God, as it did at first. Suppose, when you were first married, and your wife cooked for you, she loved it. She longed to do things that pleased you. And then, later on, she had to cook for you. Have your wife said, every day of my life, I've enjoyed preparing meals for my family. Can you say that? I'm afraid not. And so this is what the Savior says. He says, you're still doing wonderful things, but you're not doing it the way you did it first. You've lost your first kind of love. You've left your first love. And so think of Jacob at first, loving Rachel. That was the first kind of love. What does it mean? It means that 7 years of servitude seemed but a few days because of that love. But then later on, that love can change. And the Lord Jesus said, you've left your first love. Now, this is the way it can be pictured and measured. It says that Enoch walked with God. Isn't that beautiful? Walking side by side with God. And it says concerning Peter, whom the Lord had told him that he would deny him, when he did deny the Lord Jesus Christ, it broke his heart and he wept bitterly. But he came to his senses and he said, well, I'm going to follow him anyway. But it said he followed him afar off. You say, yes. And so there is love that is near, and there is love that is far. And how are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? afar off, or you're walking side by side with him, nothing to break the fellowship between you and God. So these are the measurements of love. How does your love measure in the sight of God? Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that you made it possible for us to love you. You made it possible because of ourselves we could never love you. But we love because you first loved us and you gave your Son and we trusted him as Savior and therefore love began. And so, our Father, instead of that love waxing cold, let it be like those of whom you say in Thessalonica, your love one toward another aboundeth. And so let our love grow and let it become more fervent and let it abound, our God. And let us be realistic in that love and not boast that we have love like nobody else has for you and for your people. But let us realistically at least search our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, my love is ever so small, but you know I love you. And I want my love to grow and to increase. And I don't want to follow you from afar, but I want to walk by your side. So cleanse me from my sins and restore my soul and give me that sweetness of fellowship that I've had in the past. Father, let us not leave our first love. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.